He is Dan, and I am Zach, and we are the Over the Hill Gamers. Welcome to our world of naughty nerd, nerd naughty, nerddom, whatever you want to word it as.
Nerd Mecca.
Nerd Mecca. Yes.
I love it.
Yes, yes, very much so. Well, this is a special episode for us. We're going to geek out quite a bit about Resident Evil. I've actually, on my screen right now, got the countdown on my PS5. Got less than 2 hours before the game goes live, and I've taken off work, so I'm about to get frosty with some Resident Evil Village tonight.
Yes.
On top of that,
I think we both played the demos that dropped about 3 or 4 days ago, and so I think we're both very amped. Now, I didn't take off work, so I'm going to work tomorrow, but I plan on playing tomorrow night.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited.
And we're going to give our impressions of the demo and the gameplay and kind of some theories, because we can still do that. We have 2 hours to get theories about what the gameplay may have.
Yes.
Other great nerd things going on is the Bad Batch has premiered, and damn, it was awesome. So,
amazing.
On May the 4th, Star Wars going full strong. Of course, the Snyder Cut going strong. Good time to be DC fan, Marvel fan. It's a great time to be a nerd, enjoy lore and everything else. And that's why we do this podcast, peeps who are listening in. We record because we like to talk about nerdy things, and it's fun to kind of put it on recording and see if we have people who dig it enough to want to follow and, you know, hear our thoughts and our words.
You know, it's funny to say that, too, considering how different pop culture is now compared to when we were young and not old school or over the hill, as we say. Because if you really think about it, like when I was 19, 20, and, you know, you're about a year or two older than me, you know, it wasn't cool to be a nerd back then. But nowadays, like Marvel, DC, gaming, all these things have broken the mold. And nowadays, to be a nerd, it's second nature. Most people wear it as a badge of pride. You know, it's an interesting, cool thing now, the way pop culture's gone and the things we're interested in, how universal and how much it unites people across the board.
Oh, man, for sure. And that's why we're doing this podcast, because we want to unite people. We want to change the world one podcast at a time. That's the that's the objective.
One nerd thought at a time with each genre. An enjoyable pop culture reference.
Yes. And we really don't have I think what I appreciate about what we're doing here for our listeners that are new or returning from our first episode over 50 plays, which I think is badass for just us kind of just talking about one of our favorite video game franchises in the lore, which is Resident Evil. But our objective is not to be like other video game podcasts. We want to talk about games, movies, shows, just anything that's kind of going on that we like and give our opinions of. So maybe it turns people on who are watching or listening that want to, you know, try things out and want to experience what we are. And, you know, if you want to go get your news and know what all games are coming out every week, listen to one of those podcasts, too. That's what they're there for. You know, that's not going to be us. Too. Oh, yeah. That's not going to be us, and it never will be. It's not what we're about here. So let's start with something weird. So it's Mother's Day this weekend, right?
Yes.
And you know, Facebook, it like tracks, like it knows, like if you have, I guess you follow certain things, right? What in the world am I searching on Facebook to get these weird ads that pop up? Like, where are these coming from, dude?
You know, you sent me one of those, and it's so funny that when you sent it to me, I laughed because I saw it a week ago.
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine about getting a gift for Mother's Day for my wife, because we have 3 children and you have 2 children. We've talked about this before, so you're obviously probably looking for Mother's Day gifts as well.
Yeah.
And the same thing popped up, and I was like, oh, my Lord, that's hilarious. Why don't you tell the audience what you got and what you saw?
It's from Forever Wick Candle. And it's a MILF gift set. So it's like a bunch of like candles and soaps. And
but the funny thing is, it says a MILF gift set. All it says on there is like MILF and different like lettering on different
things.
Yeah,
everything literally says MILF.
The most mundane things that are on there. Yeah, everything says MILF, but it's like bath bomb, you know, beads and candles. And I'm like, what? Like, and first of all, I'm sure a great gift. I'm not downplaying the product, but I can only imagine what my wife would say if I got her that, like, from the kids or something. She opened it up. She'd be like, what are you doing, crazy? And, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm vanilla by any stretch of the imagination, but it just made me laugh hysterically when I saw it for the first time. Because I was like, who's getting this for their wife? And, like, how is their wife reacting if they're opening it in front of the kids?
Oh, my gosh. No, for real. I know there's, like, on Valentine's Day, someone's popping up, like, coffee mugs, like, I want to touch your butt, like, things like that. I'm like,
yes. Like Facebook that. Is really good about tracking, like, funny things you talk about with your friends or things you're looking at online, and then just popping things in your news feed that you're like, I wasn't really interested in that, but now I kind of am, and you're looking at it. It's very, very, like, Resident Evil, like, since we were, you know, we've been talking about Resident Evil so much, I've had so many additional, like, Village is coming out, this is coming out, like, PlayStation, and don't forget about Resident Evil Village, which, let's be honest here, I'm excited for, you're excited for, we're like, we've been chomping at the bit since you played the very first demo. I didn't get to play it
on. All right, the Maiden demo, yeah.
Yeah, and then I missed the second demo. We even talked about it. I downloaded it earlier, and then I had parent stuff that popped up. So when I went
and to it was play, timed.
I missed it by a day because it was timed, which was very disappointing. But that's okay. I got the new one that just came out where you can do the castle and the village itself, and that was a blast.
Sure, man. Let's talk about that. Let's get started. That's what the meat and potatoes of this episode is going to be about, is about Resident Evil Village. So that's, you know, I told myself around this time last year, or whenever it was, whenever they did the PS5 launch, I want to say it was June of last year when they showed what the console was going to look like. It was going to come out holiday. We didn't know all the specifics, but they showed trailers for Returnal, which just came out, which is freaking phenomenal, by the way.
Which you're playing right now.
Oh, gosh. I'll talk about that game later. It's Metroid on steroids, made for a PS5. Oh, yeah. And that's awesome because Nintendo refuses to give us Metroid, so someone decided to give us that game, basically, which is fine by me. And I saw the trailer for Resident Evil Village, and I told myself that's when I'm going to upgrade. That's going to be the game that makes me get my PS5 or my new Xbox. That's going to be the one that does it. And sure enough, didn't get one at launch. Was looking kind of hard for one. And then I really went hard in the paint when I found out that the Maiden demo was going to be a PS5 exclusive to kind of experience Resident Evil, right? So I freaking found one like within like 48 hours of the demo being released. So I got to play it the weekend it came out. Like I was that. I needed it. I needed it in my life.
That's a feat within itself. Just because like from everyone I'm talking to, it's so impossible to find a PS5.
Oh, yeah, it still is. You have to be on your shit. Like, you have to be, like, it's tough,
man. Calling people, knowing a guy who knows a guy.
Yo, I got my friend Allie. I got our coworker Alan one, like, from Best Buy. Like, I told him I'd help get one for his kids, you know. Because I think everyone deserves that awesome dad moment. I know his kids wanted one really bad. I tried for, like, took me, like, 2 months to help him get his. But I finally did it. Yeah, Best Buy did a drop. I got in there twice, actually, because I was going to buy one for another coworker, but they were limiting one per customer. So I wasn't able to get the second one. And somehow I managed to get in there twice, two separate transactions, which was wild. So whatever. So Village, let's get on task.
Yes.
So they released the first demo, which you did not get to play, which was Village. You got to play it this weekend when they released both together. So the Village, it's the exact same. There was nothing different.
And I was smart because I played it all the way through right before the hour was up. I stopped, and then I went back through and played Castle. And so I kept jumping back and forth so I didn't run out of time, and I could keep playing. If you move into another one and don't save or anything, it allows you to keep going. So I technically played it, like, 4 times.
Nice.
Both of them twice.
Yeah, it was. It's good, man. It is smooth. Like, I'm playing on the 5. You're playing on the PS4 Pro. Graphic-wise, it looks very similar. The difference on PS5 is I have ray tracing. So there's going to be a lot more shimmering and stuff like that, a lot more glossiness to it, kind of, if that makes sense. And then the 3D audio, obviously, is pristine, bro, like the headphones and stuff. But otherwise, the gameplay runs a little better on the 5, but not tremendously better. So let's talk about Village, that one demo, actually playing the Village. So you're Ethan. It's about... I think it takes about 18 minutes to run through if you don't die and you kind of know where you're going, right?
Yeah, and I think that's if you kind of burn through things and, like you said, know where you're going. Like, I played, the first time I ran through it to go all the way through that portion, I think it was about 30 minutes for me, but I was like, I one of the things about Resident Evil that I love, and we talked about in the last podcast, is inspecting everything. You know, right. I'm trained by Resident Evil to look at every nook and cranny. And then we talked about finding goats on the roof, so I was like, that was a thing for me as well. And, like, the only thing that, like, stood that, and I joked with you about it, the only thing that held me up, too, that added more time for me is when I was in the cabin trying to find the keys. Because you read the little note, and the note says, you know, the keys in on the key ring. And so I was looking on walls for a key ring, and it turned out to be in a drawer.
Yeah.
Eventually, I found it, obviously. But I was like, where's this damn key ring?
Yeah.
And I'm looking everywhere, and I'm like, it's not here. But the gameplay was, and I, you know, obviously I don't have a PS5, and so I haven't played it on it or seen it yet, other than, like, previews and stuff like that. But I gotta say, man, even on the PS4, it's the cleanest, most streamlined, and graphically detailed, pristine, beautiful game that I've played in a very long time.
Yeah.
Like, they took their time with it. The fact that the environment is so interactive. I mean, one of the things I was commenting on to you that we spoke about was the fact that it was one of the first games I ever played where you look in a glass case and you see something. Now, that took place in the castle, but you look in a glass case and see something, and as opposed to have to, like, unlocking a door later or anything like that, I always thought whenever I played those games, I'm like, you have a gun in your hand. Why don't you just, like, shoot or break the glass and then pull it out? Not many games do that. And they finally did in Resident Evil.
Yes.
So it took this game to do it. To where you just break the glass and take it. And even the glass shattering looked so clean and crisp and pretty. Just the whole game overall was, like, spot on. And I was going to say, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but in the village when you're saved by the daughter, I her name just escaped me.
Evelyn.
Evelyn, thank you.
Yeah.
When you're saved by Evelyn.
Voiced by the woman who voiced Jill in Resident Evil 3.
That's what I was going to say. On the Resident Evil 3 remake, she did the voice. You mentioned that to me today, and I didn't clue in, but I remember feeling how familiar her voice sounded when I played that demo. But, man, just the game was awesome. And going through, finding everything, and finding the treasures, and finding the lockpicks, just everything about it. One thing that I felt, and I haven't gotten that yet. I don't know if you got this. I haven't gotten a scare from the demo. I didn't get a super scare. I mean, it was adrenaline pumping from the lichens and adrenaline pumping from chasing things down. But I didn't get a jump scare or an eerie, creepy, freak you the heck out like I got in Resident Evil 7.
Right.
On the regular.
Well, I would say
I would say
that if, like, for me, this game seems like Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6 as far as scary. Like, it's,
yeah.
We haven't experienced the game, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know 100% what we're what's really about to happen, right? But the one thing I do know is that it's got the feel and the exploration. Like, for instance, it's Resident Evil 4 on steroids, because there's diamonds hidden in statues. There's a diamond hidden in this, and so you can cash things in to buy from the merchant. There's obviously, like I said, a goat on the roof. One of the trophies, we looked at the trophy list of the game today. One of the trophies is to find everything. So what I noticed when playing just the village portion is how awesome the story is. Very detailed. The cutscenes are like right in the game. Like, the game doesn't skip
flawless.
A beat. It's like part of it. And, you know, you don't go, like, to a black screen or anything else. And, man, it's a great story. You only, on the village demo, you fight three lichens. That's it in the grass. Other than that, it's really just kind of point A to point B. You got to find two objects to put on the door to open the door to go to the castle. And it's like, get there. Correct. You know, for anybody that hasn't tried it, it's still available till the 9th. So if you're listening to this and you have a PS4 or Xbox and you want to play it, download that bad boy. You get an hour to play it. So,
and give it a shot too, just because if you're not quite ready to buy the game or you're not sold, if you don't want to listen to the Over the Hill gamers that know what they're talking about when they talk about a good game, give that demo a try. And I don't know of anyone who wouldn't try that and be like, yep, that's awesome. I want to buy it.
Yeah.
It's that good.
What we've got confirmed from the village part of the demo is that, A, the lichen virus that makes the werewolves, it's going to be like zombies. A character is bit in the demo, spoiler alert, and he's gradually changing, and he ends up changing in a room and killing like four or five people until Evelyn...
You're almost killing you.
Until Evelyn actually gets him. So it's very zombie-like, where if the zombies get you, you turn into a zombie. So same effect from what we know so far. That's it, though. The only story is that this village... All we know right now is that this village, which I'm thinking is, honestly, an umbrella abandoned project from, like, 100 years ago. That's what I want it to be so bad. I really hope that's what it is.
This is your opinion, too, or your thoughts. This isn't, like, canon or anything. We don't know for sure about this. This is speculation.
Right. Yeah. That's what...
I'm pretty sure... I think we talked about it today, but... For the listeners out there, and one thing a lot of people don't know, and you learn this from the other games, is that the original T-Virus was made from a plant. I can't remember the name of the plant right this second, but that plant was found like in the 1900s by Ashford, and that's how the research started. And so the umbrella families and how they came about was because of this plant. So your idea and your of the plot, it's highly possible, you know? And I love the idea that, like, these people have been possibly worshiping the vampires and stuff for, like, generations.
Right.
And, like, the rest of the world just went on like nothing was going on.
Sure.
You know?
And they have no technology. It's almost like they live in the 1800s is what it seems like from this kind of the short, you know. They have guns, like a shotgun and stuff, but there doesn't seem to be any TVs in the house. Like, the houses you explore, it doesn't seem to be... any technology whatsoever going on. There's no televisions. There's no... It's like fire warming them from the snow outside. There's no AC or heater from what you notice. Yeah. So, yeah, there's something...
There's only one car that you see, and that's in the demo. All the rest around the buildings and stuff, there's no cars or anything.
Right, right.
I didn't see any. There's carts, like horse and carriage carts, but I didn't see any cars or anything like that.
So we'll keep some mystery there for the demo. Bottom line is you have to find two objects, which can be difficult or easy depending on how much of a Resident Evil vet you are. When the demo ends, it's path to the castle. Ethan says blood and guts, huh? And then it goes to dark. And then if you play the next demo, which is the castle, which we're going to talk about now, you wake up, what I'm assuming, they show on the trailer, Lady Dimitrescu.
Yes.
Sucks his...
The thirsty fan.
Yes.
Fan love.
we're about 4 hours away from her being naked on the internet, by the way.
Oh, I guarantee you. Dude, I'll say this, like, I want to comment on that real quick, because you and I have joked and talked about this so much. You know, I'm a fan on some of the Resident Evil fan sites on Facebook, and I read a lot of stuff online. And I will say this, there has been more thirsty posts about that vampire lady than I think any game character I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's over the top, man. Like, every 5 minutes, something's coming out, and it's just taking the internet by storm.
It's hilarious. No, it is... Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I can't... Every day I see something that cracks me up, like, to max, you know? It's fantastic. Back on point. So, you see in the trailer that they released, there's a scene where Lady Dimitrescu, she sucks the wrist of Ethan, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm assuming he wakes up on the floor of what looks like that room. So, you can't see a mark on his wrist or anything, but I'm assuming that might be... Like, they leave him kind of after... Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he climbs in a window and passes out. I don't know. But it seems like it's right after that.
To add to that point, one of the trailers they show, he's dragged in there.
Sure.
One of the trailers you can watch, they drag him in there. Now, the demo, it doesn't show that. It's like you're talking about. But, like, him getting dragged in there, I would assume maybe he was a prisoner or something based on one of the trailers we saw.
Right. But yeah, no,
I don't know for sure.
No, you're there. And what I noticed about that scene is as soon as you exit, this is where the creepiness kind of is at. This is more of Resident Evil 2-ish. You're inside of a place and you don't know where to go. There's branching paths. You can go left, you can go right. There's treasure around. There's everything else. And now you see exactly how many puzzles there are. I think I counted 4 puzzles in the castle that we had access to. There was there's the statues. There was that little thing with the Duke where you can upgrade your weapons. It was like a drawbridge. There was the castle. Not the castle. Yep. There was an elevator as well that was not working. And so that's 3. Maybe there's one more. I can't remember if there was one more. But there was so many different things. So you basically, you want to find your way to the Duke so you can get a shotgun for obvious reasons because it's awesome. Almost everything in the game is breakable to get Lei. You want to get Lei or Lee, whatever you want to pronounce it. You want to get as much currency as possible so you can get bullets and upgrade your weapons. And the whole object is to kind of go downstairs to where you're in the cellar from the Maiden demo and you fight your first encounter with these zombie-looking hobgoblin motherfuckers, basically.
Yeah, and they are gross-looking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when it becomes creepy because you're hearing them at first, you can't see them. They're tough. They're tougher than the Lycans, man.
Yes, and it was very reminiscent of. It was the only part that I played that felt very much like 7.
Yeah,
where it's, you know, it's darker and you hear them first and then you see it, and so there's your when you were fighting the mold people in 7, your homage. Oh, not homage, but like your similar concept to that. So I enjoyed that part as well.
Yeah, it's very good. You can beat that. The demo for the castle, you can probably finish in 12 minutes if you know where you're going. About 15 to 17 if you get turned around a little bit. You encounter 2 of the witches, 2 of the 3 of the younger girls. You're basically looking for your daughter in the demo. Good news is when they're stalking you, a shotgun to the face will make them turn into moths so you can escape them. So if you are like terrified that they're going to kill you, turn around, 1 shotgun, or I think it's 3 normal shots or 1 shotgun blast, and they kind of, boom, turn into...
Dissipate.
Yeah, they turn into whatever, and they can't solidify again for a few minutes. So that's good. That's good news for playing the game, you know?
And then you do your bolt. That's what I did. I did the shoot and run.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of the shoot and run in Resident Evil.
There's so much going on in the castle. It was cool for me because I experienced that same castle in the Maiden demo. You start in the cellar, you work your way up, and you got to find your way out of one of the doors. Like, you actually have to find that moon ring. Like, there's a scene in the game where you have to find a ring with an eye, and you examine it, and it unlocks the eye, and it opens up a passageway. You actually do that in the Maiden demo as well, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think I found that. Isn't that the one you find in the case?
Yeah.
The ring? Yeah.
And, yeah, it's like hard to miss in the demo. It's just like right. It's like right there, right along. And as soon as you take it out, like the statue moves, so you can walk through the wall. I think is what it is.
One thing I'll add that I really enjoyed, and this is just from the demo, but I'm sure it's gonna be the normal gameplay. I don't know about you, but man, like the item inventory and the mapping and everything just felt a little smoother. Like flipping between item inventory and looking at your stuff, and then combining and making things, which. You know, you've always been able to do in Resident Evil, but it has a separate thing, and it kind of gives you an ingredient list almost.
Right.
Tells you if you have it in your inventory or not, which makes it easier. Because you remember in 7, like, when you start gathering up, you know, chemicals and gathering up herbs and everything like that, and you start trying to make things, you're kind of just doing it off of trial and error, and it's you don't have, like, an ingredient list or telling you if you have this to do it or not, you know?
Sure.
So well, that I felt was helpful.
And another big thing, too, is that apparently, and we can't confirm this yet. Now, I know there's, I think it's typewriters that's in this. We haven't seen any yet in the demos, or they've been, but I believe it's typewriters that's in the game, but I don't believe it's inventory boxes. I think it's like Resident Evil 4, where you're carrying your inventory box. That's what I get from the demo. You're basically carrying your inventory case all the time.
With the attaché case, as they call it, from 4.
And it pauses the game now when you go into your inventory. In 7...
Yes, which is...
Yeah, in 7, the game's still going. You press triangle to go through your inventory, and you could still get attacked by Mold or Jack or whatever's chasing you around, right?
That was such a frustrating aspect of Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of like... I'm for it and against it at the same time. I'm yes with a no-y aftertaste, as I'd say, because, like, I love the fact that it has that realism that you're like, I'm going to run through my pockets and try and find something to kill this zombie with, or mold or whatever. But then I love the aspect that I know I need to pause it and find, like, look at my inventory and find the right gun to kill this guy. So it's like, I'm for it and against it at the same time. So I'm at odds with myself on that one.
Oh, sure. I replayed Resident Evil 7 and finally got the second ending over the weekend, right? And I had bombs in my inventory, but they weren't assigned to a D-pad button, right? So I was like, oh my gosh, I want to lay a bomb right now. So I tried to pull triangle and move it, and I got a tap. I'm like, I can't fucking do this, dude. I just need to kill this thing. And then I moved my knife down, and I moved the bombs where my knife was, you know? And I was like, I'll just switch it out again if I need to get a box, you know, at this point.
Now, one little silly innovation that I thought was cool that we talked about with the demo was when you go to break the big vases to get, either lei or whatever the currency is, or bullets or whatever's in there, you don't have to walk up and shoot it or knife it. If you just walk up, it asks you, hey, do you want to break this? Which it didn't do that in 7 ever. If you saw a box or whatever you need to break, you had to do it with your knife or your gun yourself.
Right.
This, you can walk up and it says hit X, and then you break it automatically. So you're not, you know, the novice who's never played Resident Evil before and has no idea, like, do I need to break these vases? Are they for decoration? We'll walk up and be like, I guess I hit X, and boom, they'll break a vase and get cool stuff.
Right.
So that's a fun little, not a big deal, but a fun little add-on.
And look at the walls. If you see a shimmer, there's a diamond in there, man. And you shoot those, or you knife them, and you get to sell that to the Duke, and you get yourself, you get to upgrade your weapon and buy ammo and things like that.
I got lucky because I played so many Resident Evils that, you know, I'm just like overly search happy.
Oh, I do that anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, like in every level. And so like when I went to the Duke and sold all my stuff, which I did, I sold like everything. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I'm buying a shotgun. I'm buying way more shells than I need. I'm buying way more bullets than I need for my pistol. I upgraded the crap out of everything. And like bought one med spray, and then I was like, okay, let's go destroy this place.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Oh man, and I'd pre-order the deluxe edition. I'm pretty excited to start the game with the Wesker pistol, because when I did my second run on Resident Evil 7, I had the Wesker pistol from having beat the game. And I tell you what, I don't know if there's going to be enhanced ammo in this one, but even without the enhanced ammo, that gun is bad to the bone for knocking out mold, dude. As we put enhanced ammo in that, though, like the blob monsters, even it's like 3-shot killed them, dude. Like, yeah. I was like,
and it's awesome too. It's just so smooth and cool looking.
Yeah,
like everything. And apparently, the lore of the games is Wesker designed these to take out, the BOWs and everything, and like the shotgun, his pistol. They're just dope. They're just fun to use. But, and so far, with the deluxe, you get the pistol. I wonder if they'll have that shotgun show up. That would be cool. Like, if maybe you can upgrade to it.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I would imagine so, man. I'm excited for the surprises. I know that there was less to be desired as far as surprises on the castle demo. It was just kind of showing you, like, damn, dude, you're going to have a lot of puzzles to figure everything out where you need to go.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get attacked by one of the girls and it ends. And you kind of don't know where it's going from there. I know in the castle, you will be stalked by them the entire time. And apparently there's part of the game where Lady D, Dimitrescu, is like straight up Mr. X-ing you and following you the whole time. It's a good thing she's so tall, because she does have to duck to walk through doors. So that buys you like a second or two right now. You don't get that in the demo, but that's going to be a thing. So if I was a betting man, the castle's got to be last, right?
We don't know, but I'd assume, like, maybe that's where you end up. But I don't know, man. Like,
we have 4 worlds and 4 bosses, I believe.
Yes. Based on the trailers, though, like, there's that point to where, like, you're in some kind of underground dungeon and there's lichens everywhere, and then you're above ground in some cave talking to Chris.
Yeah.
Like, based on the trailers that we saw. So who knows, man? Like, what I will say is this. I'm super excited about the game. It looks really crisp and smooth. I think I think Resident Evil's on the right track, man. And we've talked about this at length. It seems like they know what they're doing. They know what they're going for. And they're giving the fans what they want while trying to stay competitive with the market, you know?
Yeah, man. I can't wait to see what else we have in store from them. I'm so pleased. I can't wait to play it tonight. I know the Residents of Evil podcast got an early copy. They're a big Resident Evil channel, and they finished the game. They finished the game today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they didn't post, any spoilers. He just goes, I beat the game, and then he posted a bunch of emojis. Like, this is my reaction. It's at a head exploding. Is what his emoji
that's
was.
Awesome.
But yeah, they're a very, very, very big channel, and that's all they do is cover that. And I believe if I'm not mistaken that they were kind of not digging what Resident Evil was putting down for Village, but then they played the demos and they were all about it and they absolutely loved the game. So that's good. That's a good sign, because they're like purists from like 2 and 3. That's like their jam. So I think this is going to be something for everyone. I think that if you're not a fan of Resident Evil, I think if 7 was too much for you, I think you'll be able to handle this one, because 7 was a very, very, very dark, scary game. It really, really was. I think this is going to be more on the action side from the reviews, which are all amazing, by the way. You and I went down the list, and it was like so many 9s of 10s, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll add to that. Like, after we discussed it, I even looked up more. I don't think there's a bad review out there.
No.
Like, I couldn't find a bad review. There was critical reviews, but even those gave it good scores.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this is game of the year for sure, you know? And it looks like a barrel of fun. Now, obviously, we don't really have too much we can talk about it, because it's all speculation until we play it. And we're how many hours away now?
1 hour and 18 minutes from the recording right now until it's available. Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Beautiful is right.
I won't even get a shot at it. I'll be in bed by then, but I will I will play it tomorrow.
Heck yeah. Well, so let's put a fork in Resident Evil for there. You know what's cool, man, is that, like, how normal everything's kind of becoming again right now. You know, today I saw a trailer. Tonight I was at the gym, and I saw a trailer for The Last of Us 2, only in theaters. Like, it's meant for the theater. It's a dark screen. It's sorry. What's up, Hudson? You can come on the podcast if you want. No, you can have the last cookie. That's fine, dude. We don't edit these podcasts. They're live. They're live and in charge. So Hudson wanted a protein cookie. So yes, he can have a protein cookie.
There you go. Get it.
So it's just cool to see. Like I'm excited to see the theater. You have this is the first. I mean. The Returnal is the first, like, pushing the PS5 to the limit game, right? But this is your first. It's out on Xbox. It's out on PS4. This is your, like, main. It's here, man. And we've got the Bad Batch. We've got new shows coming back. We've got people that are vaccinated, whether that's your thing or not. The world is back, and it's kind of cool to see everything kind of coming back into place, man. Like, I'm just excited about. I like. To be busy with stuff, you know, it's very, very cool.
I'm pretty excited about movies coming back, man.
Yeah.
Like, even during the pandemic, where there were some theaters that were open and you could go see a movie, nothing good was out, dude.
No, it was like re-release stuff, you know?
Yeah, like they were re-releasing things, or they were they were taking it and putting it on hold or releasing it on streaming, which I'm fine with. But I don't know about you, but I've always grown up with the movies. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to sit in my PJs, hanging out with my kids and my wife, and watch a movie streaming. But there's something about going to a theater and feeling it and getting that whole experience. We're never going to get rid of that. And I hope it never does. I know a lot of theaters close down, but I'm just happy that movies are coming back. Things are coming back. Things are reopening. And, you know, people are getting vaccinated, so the masks are going to get, you know, masks are important. I'm not downplaying anything, but maybe it'll calm down, and you know, we can get back to the new normal or some more normal or whatever the heck it is. I don't care. I just want to be able to go out, hang with my friends, and not like be worried about people freaking out the whole time.
Sure. You know? And with everything being normal, that just means no more delays on games. I mean, we're looking at you still realistically, you can't even walk into a store and get a PS5 if you try right now. They're not there. And they don't think it'll be that way. They don't think they'll be available till like March. That's wild.
That is crazy. I mean, the good news is the demand is still going to be there.
Yeah.
And so when they do come, you'll be able to get them and stuff. But, like, I don't know. There's people like me who aren't in a rush. Like, I want the PS5, don't get me wrong, but I'm not in a rush quite yet because they're still putting out the new titles on PS4 as well. And it's one of those things that, you know, I don't know. I want the PS5 bad, but I'm not in a rush to get it this second. I'm happy that I'll be able to play Village on my PS4 and be.
And you can upgrade it and do a second run one day when you get the PS5.
Exactly. And, like, it's the same we were talking about, like, you know, I love the VR. That's what I loved about 7. We talked about that in the past and other VR games. You know, maybe they'll upgrade it to that too, or there's talks of them doing that. You know, stuff like that's half the fun of it. I'm just excited with all the things like you were talking about that are going on right now. Like, let's delve into the Bad Batch for a minute, man, because, all right, I'm an Uber, and you guys will figure this out on the podcast. I am, like, the Uberest of Star Wars nerds, to the point that one of my son's name is Luke. I have been, like, into Star Wars my entire life. I grew up on it. I had an older brother who got into it before me, who's 3.5 years older. And so, like, when I was a baby, they took me to see Return of the Jedi. I was a baby, mind you. Like, I was literally a couple months old. And they took me to see Return of the Jedi. And I don't remember any of it, obviously. But it's, like, in my blood. So, like, I love everything Star Wars. I have read most all of the expanded universe books. I have read the comics. I have watched all the cartoons, from the Clone Wars to Rebels to everything. And I love what they're doing with it right now. And I know people hate Disney across the board for some of their take with Star Wars, especially the sequels and stuff. But I'm such a diehard Star Wars fan that, like, I overcome things like that. Like, people downplayed and talked crap about the prequels when they came out. And I was there for that. And I was like, look, it's still new content from Star Wars and it's not that bad. And now people look back and they're like, prequels weren't bad at all. I love the prequels. No, the sequels, they suck. Like, everyone has their opinions. That's fine. They're entitled to them. But I'll say this. I love friggin' Star Wars in all its glory. And what they're doing with the expanded content right now with Mandalorian, with Rebels, with, like we talked about today, Rogue One, and what they did with Solo, Star Wars Story, what they're about to come up with Ahsoka, with Obi-Wan Kenobi. There's so much content that people are worried it's going to saturate it, but I don't think that at all because they got the right people doing it. Dave Filoni is the next George Lucas.
Yeah.
He was trained by him. He knows what he's doing. He knows the content, and he is doing no wrong. And him and Jon Favreau have taken something and revamped it in a way that the fanboys are just going gaga over, and I am one of them.
Yeah.
And Bad Batch just adds to that. It was so good.
The Bad Batch is a group of clones. It's 4 of them. And yes.
Technically 5, but 4
right.
For the show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's technically 5, 4 or 5, whatever. They were introduced on the Clone Wars final season, and they're a group of stormtroopers, basically, that are genetically different than the rest, and it's pretty cool. The first show is an hour long on Disney Plus. It debuted this week. The new episode, by the time you're listening to this podcast, is probably actually Friday or the weekend. So episode 2 is out on Disney Plus. And this takes place right around during episode 3, right?
Yeah, it literally takes place in the beginning of it.
Which is Revenge of the Sith.
Order 66.
Right.
And then right after Order 66 over the next, like, couple days.
So it takes place it takes place during and after Revenge of the Sith.
I wouldn't say after Revenge of the Sith. I'd say I don't know about the whole show, but this episode only all takes place during Revenge of the Sith.
Right, right. It's 16 episodes, so we'll see. We don't know how long the story arc is going to carry, but there's a very good chance it goes past the movie. Because the movie took place over, like, a week? Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, not even really. It's almost like a couple days. It all goes down so quickly. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, Order 66 gets enacted right. I mean, there's no spoiler here, but if you haven't seen episode 3, I'm sorry, spoiler alert. Order 66 gets enacted right when they come to arrest the Chancellor after Grievous is caught by Obi-Wan Kenobi, and they pretty much are taking him down, and he gets, like, right after Grievous is killed, they go to arrest Chancellor Palpatine, and he immediately fights back and then enacts Order 66. And right then, all the Jedi get... I mean, if you haven't seen Episode 3, go watch it. It's amazing. The Jedi start getting slaughtered. And one of my favorite parts of this is it's... So we only got to see what happened in Revenge of the Sith, Order 66, and then we got a little bit of it during the Clone Wars with Ahsoka having to deal with Order 66. Now we got to see it from a Padawan perspective, because there's a Jedi Master and a Padawan, right. Which, spoiler alert, the Padawan is someone, if you've watched other Disney cartoon, or not just Disney, but Star Wars properties like Rebels, he plays a major prominent character. It's him as a Padawan, and him, it's what happens to him during Order 66, which was just great. And I know the same actor didn't do the voice, but they got some actor who sounded almost just like him. And so I
know it is the same actor.
What's that?
It is the same actor.
They got Freddie Prinze Jr. to do like,
if that who it is, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's not the same actor, I guess. I didn't know it was Freddie Prinze because they said a different name.
Freddie Prinze Jr. plays the voice of Kanan Jarrus, also known as Caleb Dune. And this is his Padawan version.
Okay. It's pretty cool. It's a good time.
Very similar.
We talked about last episode, like Resident Evil, and like we were playing through the games. You and I have had a journey the last 60 days of just playing almost all Resident Evil, right? Like playing through all of them. I did my speed run on 3, trying to beat it, you know, beat it under an hour. I did that. And we just had some good times. And man, you've got, you know, I told you, you weren't aware of this, that EA's deal is up at the end of the year, I think. I think it's either 2022 or the end of this year when their exclusive deal with Star Wars is done. You have Ubisoft. Oh, yeah. Ubisoft is working on an open world Star Wars game, which we don't know what the baseline is for that at all. There's rumors that there is a Force Unleashed 3 being in development.
There's, which I am so nerding out over after you told me.
Yeah, Battlefront 3 is supposed to come out around May the 4th of next year. And then you also have Jedi Fallen Order 2 as well. Those will be EA's last two games, probably. Or they could still make them if they want, but that, you know, EA's attached to those two. And with the Battlefield, which is their like World War II shooting game, comes out this Christmas time. They share the same engine, so it's not a surprise to see Star Wars coming out close after that too. So,
I'll say this in regard to Star Wars: I have never played a bad Star Wars game.
No.
All of them had their own merits. There were like some clunky ones back in the PS2 era during the episode one, during the prequels, but they were still good.
Yeah.
Like all of the games, even like the Lego ones we talked about,
dude, on Nintendo 64, you could go play the Pod Racer game, and it's awesome. Oh, yeah. It's still fun,
and still to this day one of my favorite games of all time, which I would love if they remade or remastered. Nintendo 64, Shadows of the Empire.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
It's one of the greatest games, and also is one of the only games that is canon to this day, because George Lucas got a writer and made him write the storyline for it, and George Lucas produced it and said, yes, this happened between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and this is canon. And so, like, you play that game and you're like, yes, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And it's dope.
It was a good one. I had that in GoldenEye. That GoldenEye and WCW versus NWO were my world tour, were my first three Nintendo 64 games. Good times, good times.
And then Ocarina of Time, obviously.
Oh, yeah, when that came out. That was a little bit later than those.
Still good, though.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, that game. Zelda's another thing I could nerd out about for 49
hours. Yeah, we're
going to
need a whole podcast for that one.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. And on top of the games with Star Wars, we've got Obi-Wan's filming right now. You've got Mando. Yes. Mando's filming. Boba Fett finished filming. They're in post-production now, correct?
Yeah. Boba Fett's in post-production. Obi-Wan started filming last month. Mando starts filming, but it won't be out for an additional year, is right. What I re-looked up and found out.
So we're going to get... So this year we already got Mando. And then we're going to get, at the very end of the year, Book of Boba Fett.
Yes, and then we're thinking possibly Obi-Wan.
Try to play next year.
Possibly Ahsoka. They haven't announced a date, but they've been filming Ahsoka since her appearance in Mandalorian.
Okay.
So
we're going to get at least two next year. I think that's a safe bet that we'll get two of the properties. They debut on Disney Plus.
Oh. And they're going to be awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And also, side note, I'm not spoiling it because it's part of the trailer. Fennec, who's Boba Fett's right-hand lady, an assassin with the rifle from Mandalorian Season 2, shows up in The Bad Batch, and the same lady does the voice. She shows up in the trailer, and you find out she's going to be in The Bad Batch show.
Oh.
So that's pretty cool. I don't know when or what episode, but I saw that in the trailer, and so... It's not a spoiler. It's like, I was like, hey, there's Bennett. That's Boba Fett's girl. Now, obviously, that takes place years before the Mandalorian show. Like,
right.
Years. Like, I guess a full, that would be a full almost 17 years.
Yeah.
Between the two. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because, what is it? Mandalorian is happening after Jedi.
Yeah, 6 years after, 6 or 7 years after Return of the Jedi, Mandalorian takes place, and Bad Batch takes place during Revenge of the Sith. So you break that down. Luke goes from being a newborn to 18 years old. So that's 18 years right there. So, and then that's 3 more years due to Return, and 6 more years. So that's 18.
24 years.
24 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Fennec, it's 24 years between The Bad Batch and Mandalorian.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I can't wait to see. We'll talk about episode 2 when we record our next episode, or 3, depending on when we do it. You know, Dan and I don't have there's not really a plan. We don't have like a weekly schedule. We're just like, hey, man, we want to talk about this, so let's podcast about that. Like, I know we want to do, I know one episode we're going to do very, very soon is we have a lot of DC comic stuff on our brains, and we want to dedicate really an entire hour and a half to talking about just what's coming with DC and kind of what's happening, like with the Snyder Cut, for instance, which was such an incredible film. Done, I can't believe that monstrosity of a other film was released to the public. It blows my mind, but that's a topic for a different podcast, obviously. But Dan and I want to, we're such big films of that franchise, or big fans of that franchise and those characters. We want to dedicate just every bit of our being on an episode to DC. So that's coming. That'll actually probably be the next thing that we do for you listeners and that we get on.
That and a Star Wars episode.
Sure.
And then, we've talked about a Marvel episode.
Zelda.
Kind of just like Zach said, we want to talk about different things, but we want to dedicate like whole episodes to some specific mythos and genres because there's such a rich mythos there that
right.
It feels like you have to.
And we want to make sure that we kind of, not that it has to be relative with what's going on in the world, that's not what it's about, but we want to make sure that we're kind of on the same page. Like, Dan and I were both playing randomly Resident Evil 7 at the same time, and then we started talking about it at work, and then I let him know how kick-ass the remakes were and everything else, and he went out and purchased them, and then it became us talking about, you know, I'm trying to beat the game in under 2 hours, I'm trying to find all the collectibles, I'm trying to do this, and it turned into like, okay, dude, let's get this going, and then, you know, like, we're both watching Bad Batch, we both watch the Snyder Cut, It's fun to kind of talk it out with that we're on the same level of kind of what we're like bringing. Like, for instance, when we do our Zelda episode, we're both probably going to dive in and you know, get with it and get some fresh Zelda takes on some of the video games in our lives, you know. So
deep into Zelda. That sounds horrible.
Ugh. or fantastic.
Or yes, exactly.
Live or die. Yes. All right. Well, that's it, man. Do you have anything else for the episode?
Man, just keep on listening. We're going to have some great stuff coming. And you know, we wanted this podcast to be pretty casual, and I feel like it should just be like shooting the shit with your friends. You know, you get to listen to some two crazy clowns talk about their loves of pop culture and gaming and nerddom, and maybe you learn something, and maybe it turns you on to something new.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you listen to this podcast and you want to communicate with us, that is something you actually can do if you're on Anchor. Okay. This podcast is wherever you listen to podcasts, right? If you're listening to this on iTunes right now, thank you. If you could like and review, that would be amazing. If you're listening to it on Spotify, same thing. Anchor is actually a separate app most people don't have. It's Apple or Spotify for their podcast, right? But Anchor is pretty neat because if you do download that, you can actually give suggestions, critiques, say nice things, ask questions, whatever you want about the podcast, and we can hear your recording, and we could actually even play it on the podcast if it's something we would want to. So that's just something for any listeners out there that would like to chime in and, you know, have any suggestions or whatever. If you want us to play, hey, I think you guys like this kind of lore. You might like this video game. Like, I was like 4 days yesterday old, if that's a thing, when I realized that there was a Terminator game that came out on PS4 that's rich with lore, that's actually pretty badass. They just remastered it on PS5, and I'm going to buy it and play it. And I'm ready for it. I can't wait to talk about it, right?
And to add to that, I'm less old because you're the one who told me about it. And so I'm probably going to buy it as well. But I'm also huge into Terminator, to the point that one of my kids' middle name is Reese, for Kyle Reese. And so that's even podcast worthy for us, delving into Terminator and that whole genre.
Alien. Oh, bro, don't get me started. Alien, Terminator. I'm such a nerd with that stuff, man. I freaking, man, when I saw that Terminator game, I freaking geeked out so hard. I don't care if it plays like... Apparently, it plays okay, too, for just being a first-person shooter. Like, if you compare it to, like, Call of Duty and stuff, it's probably not on that level. But I saw that trailer, and I was just like, yes, this looks smooth. This looks great. I heard it plays real well on the 5 as well with the update they did. So, I'm ready to rock it.
I look forward to that. We'll delve into that as well.
All right. Well, that's it, man. This is Over the Hill Gamers. He's Dan, I'm Zach, and we love you bunches for listening to our episode. And man, if you want to talk Resident Evil with us and get nerdy, hit us up whenever you can, leave messages, and we'll get to you. You can follow me on Twitter at TecmoZack. That's TecmoZack if you want to ask me any questions or get at me there. And you can find Dan on Facebook. It's his name, Dan McKeel. You should stalk
him. That's right.
And
Find me and stalk me.
Stalk him so hard. That's it, though. Dan, we're out of here.
Thank you, guys. Be safe. Have a good one.
All right. Peace.